Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made over this weekend. I'll tell you that. Wisconsin Supreme Court came down with a bad decision, 4-3, four Republicans against three Democrats. Democratic position was really the independent position. It was a nonpartisan position. The Supreme Court has ruled that in upcoming elections, the state municipalities cannot use unattended lock boxes. What does that mean? In the last election in 2020, there were hundreds of lock boxes, very secure, at secure areas around the state. People could drive up with their absentee ballots, put them in the lock box, These lock boxes had video on them. They had anti-tamper technology on them. The one in Milwaukee that I used for my absentee ballot in the past was attached to the municipal building, and there's a police presence in the entire area. These are used around the country. There have been no problems with them. The Wisconsin Supreme Court did this, in my view, if you just read the opinion, did this to make it harder for people to vote, especially in urban areas. Democratic areas. Why do I say that? If you have an absentee ballot, you can certainly mail it in. There's no question about that. But with the mail, remember you had Louis DeJoy, the postmaster, who shredded thousands of mail sorters that themselves sorted thousands of pieces of mail an hour around the country, especially in large urban areas. Said that he wanted to save money, but then he shredded them. He didn't sell them on the market to direct mail firms to get what he could for them. He did it to make sure that some ballots would get in late. The dilemma that's faced by people, especially in urban areas, but even in rural areas, is what happens if you fill out your absentee ballot a day or two before it's due, a day or two before the election? Well, you know, you can say, all right, you should have done it a week or two ago. Yeah, that's right, but people get busy. You could say that they could also say that sometimes if I mail it a week or two in advance, for some reason it may miscarry. I want to drop it off in a secure place. A lot of these municipal clerk's offices close at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Yes, if you can find a parking space in an urban area, you can walk in. And you can put it in a lockbox there. The Supreme Court said, well, they have to hand it to the clerk. Well, no one hands it to the clerk. The clerk might even not be there. He might be at lunch. He might be in a meeting. You don't hand it to the clerk. You don't necessarily leave it on the counter or give it to one of his employees. There's a lockbox there. You're not handing it to the clerk. You're putting it in a lockbox. So why can't you put it in a lockbox that's bolted outside, attended by video and tamper-proof technology 24/7, no problems. The beauty of it is parking spaces are hard to come by in Milwaukee and in parts of Madison and in other urban areas around the state. Here you can drive up, get out of your car, put it in, and leave. Now what some of the municipalities are going to do is have people from the clerk's office with bags stand out on the curb, and you can drive by so you don't have to find a parking place. This is an important issue. This decision was done with one view in mind, which was to tamper with the election and drive down voting, drive down votes from urban areas, which are deemed Democratic areas. In a smaller town, parking's not a problem. You pull up on the street, you run in. But what happens if you have a small child in the car, in a car seat? What happens if you don't have a lot of time? They're deliberately inconveniencing people. And some people, as a result, are not going to cast their ballots. That is the fact of the matter. I'll tell you, this shows the importance, actually the vital importance, of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election that's coming up in early 2023. What am I talking about? In April of 2023, there's going to be an election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court for a 10-year term to replace Chief Justice Pat Rogensack. Now, Chief Justice Rogensack was one of the three Trump justices who voted not to certify Joe Biden. She had no chance of re-election, and she's getting on in years, and she decided not to run for re-election. If somebody wins that seat, and you could say a Democrat, or you could just say an independent person, nonpartisan, will stick up for our Constitution and apply the law, then there would be a 4-3 majority the other way. Then we'd still have lockboxes. Then there would be certifications of elections to the person who won the popular vote. It is the most important election on the horizon, and I am not discounting governor, I am not discounting Senate. They're very, very important, but this one will determine the direction of the Supreme Court for 10 years. The overwhelming favorite in that race, and somebody I have a great deal of respect for, is Judge Janet Protasiewicz. We call her Judge Janet. Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She is a veteran of the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, a tough prosecutor for more than 20 years. She's been one of the finest judges on the state bench the last several terms. She's running for the Supreme Court. In my view, she's got to get elected. Her principal opponent is this fellow Kelly that the Trump people recruited, who would not certify Biden, as president, and you would get 10 more years of this kind of gerrymandered stuff. If you vote in no other election or you make no contribution, nevertheless do it for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Judge Janet, she'll be on the ballot in February. There'll be a primary in February. There are more than two candidates, and right now there are three that have kind of said they'll run. There could be more. She'll be one of the two that survives that into the April election. So keep that in mind. This is a vital, vital, vital election. Now we have no lockboxes. And I'll tell you what. This is not the only atrocity that's going on in the states, but this is our state. Let's just quick turn to Florida. And Ron DeSantis down there, unlike here, gets to appoint the head election official in the state, gets to appoint them. It'd be as if Scott Walker could have appointed Gableman, or Voss could have appointed Gableman to run elections, if you can imagine that in this state. Well, that's what DeSantis did down there. Here, the elections are run by the Wisconsin Election Commission. Wisconsin Election Commission that was appointed by legislators, appointed with three Democratic and three Republican members. Surprisingly, they're unanimous in a lot of their opinions. One of them, unfortunately, this fellow Spindell, was a fake Trump elector, and he's up to his neck in hot water. But the other five were honest. One, unfortunately, quit. And he was replaced, and we don't know, we don't have a read on the new guy. But in any event, that's how it's done in Wisconsin. But in Florida, DeSantis, the governor, he's bad, really bad, appointed a guy named Cord Byrd, B-Y-R-D, Cord, C-O-R-D, Byrd. State representative and a right-wing nut, election denier. He's going to oversee all elections in Florida. His wife is a piece of work. DeSantis appointed her to some kind of a statewide board, and she is really radical. She's the one who said there's a civil war coming. She sided with the insurrectionists. That there's a civil war coming against the left. She's talking about violence. This is the crowd that DeSantis is picking for statewide positions, and one of them, Cord Byrd, the husband of the insurrectionist sympathizer, the husband of the woman who says in welcoming tones there will be a violent civil war, is going to run the elections down there. You know, DeSantis only won by, I think, 0.5% or maybe 1% last time against the Democrat, and we put up a Democrat who is flawed. I was opposed to his nomination in the first place. The guy was being investigated by the FBI. We could have come up with better than that. DeSantis is widely seen in Florida right now by a lot of people, even so-called moderate Republicans, with real opposition and real distaste. This guy, he's not only right-wing and trying to pander to Trump, while Trump tries to undercut him as a potential rival, but he does it in a mean-spirited way. And one of the lessons I've taken after many years in politics is issues are important and a lot of things are important, but basically people vote for people they like or they're comfortable with. They don't vote for mean-spirited people. They get very, very restless when they see a mean-spirited person on the ballot. And DeSantis just, you know, there's kind of a menacing aspect to a lot of things he says and does. But this one, we've got to keep an eye on. Up here, we had a Wisconsin Supreme Court, a Republican Supreme Court, 4-3 threw out lockboxes, which is going to make it, I mean, harder for people to vote. That doesn't mean you can't vote, and doesn't mean you can't vote absentee. Put it in the mail. Put it in the mail a week before the election. Don't just sit around to the day before. And if you do sit around to the day before, go downtown, wherever the clerk's office is, municipal clerk, and go in there, and they will probably have a lockbox in there at the counter. Stick it in or hand it to a clerk. Don't be deterred just because, oh, well, I can't find a parking space. They're making you do that. They're making you jump through hoops. Do not be deterred. Do not be deterred. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Today's a big day for the January 6th Commission. It's having its seventh hearing. If you have time today, tune in for the whole thing. Apparently, it's going to go a big chunk of the day, though. Tune in for some of it. Then you'll see excerpts tonight on the various news shows. Unless you watch Fox News, and they'll say, hearing what hearing? But it is the seventh hearing today. It's going to be an important one. The committee has let it be known that some of Pat Cipollone's, he's the lawyer, the White House lawyer that testified on Friday, Pat Cipollone's video deposition, there will be excerpts aired either today or Thursday. There's another hearing Thursday, and it's in prime time. They want to watch that. Then I think at some point they're going to have to decide, do they try to get Cipollone in to talk on camera in person like Cassidy Hutchinson? But the word is that he verified and confirmed everything that Cassidy Hutchinson said. He did not deny any of it, including her statement that Pat Cipollone, White House lawyer, told her that they would be charged, quote, with every crime imaginable if they went up to the Capitol. Trump did his best to go up to the Capitol, and he sent a mob up there who injured a lot of people, and five people got killed. They went up to hang the vice president, Mike Pence. They went up to murder Nancy Pelosi. Oh, Nancy, where are you, Nancy? They had knives, brass knuckles, guns, spears. But this hearing today, it's going to be an interesting hearing because it may focus, that is the word, and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. The Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers There's also a group called the Boogaloo Boys. I don't know where they come up with these names, but today I think it'll be the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers are that guy with the patch. You know the guy with the patch? Sort of like Captain Hook. I mean, this guy, the pirate, this guy is something else. Oath Keeper. But anyway, one of the things that it has been leaked, I don't know how the press got a hold of it, but in a way we're the press, I'm breaking it now, that they are going to home in on a Trump tweet, which is one of the bases, not the only one, for criminal liability of Trump in instigating the riot. And here's what it is. On December 19, 2020, now, December 19, 2020 is 2.5 weeks before the January 6th insurrection. It's a month and a half after he lost the general election on November 3rd. Trump tweeted out, quote, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, we'll be wild." The Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers saw this. So did anybody else who followed Trump. They swarmed into Washington, but so did a lot of other people. That was the save the date card. That was the be there card that brought violent armed people to the Capitol on January 6th. And here's the Trump tweet, quote, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, we'll be wild." 5 people got killed. Woman got shot. Woman got trampled to death. That's a nasty way to go, a very nasty way to go. Another officer was thrown on the ground and almost kicked to death till he shouted, "I have 4 kids," and they spared him. People lost an eye. They had a finger ripped off. They were beaten mercilessly. Beaten mercilessly. And this is the instigation tweet. Now, there will be several other January 6th hearings. So the 7th is today. The 8th will be Thursday. And then there will be several more. I think Raskin will and Murphy, two congressmen, Raskin of Maryland, Murphy of Florida, will be doing the questioning and the presentation today. Important to look at that. And you know, there's a spinoff of this, and it's one, and it's dangerous for Lindsey Graham. That sneaky, wily little Lindsey Graham, remember him? This guy has ratted back and forth so often, it makes your head spin. He was a good friend of John McCain's. And when Trump first attacked McCain and Lindsey Graham didn't realize Trump would win the nomination in 2016, he mercilessly attacked Trump. Said he was a xenophobic, racist, incompetent. I'm not kidding. He used all those words. And his opponent for Senate in the last go-around used all that. You know, there's Lindsey Graham on TV saying Trump is a racist, incompetent. It didn't do any good. Lindsey Graham still snuck in because he turned on McCain, his friend, and started to suck up to Trump. Then January 6th came along, and he turned on Trump. He said, "That's it. Prosecutors should deal with this. That's the end of Trump." Then he read a few polls, and the base said, "Well, no, there's enough of us that still want Trump." Lindsey Graham sucked back to Trump. You know, Trump, to continue to welcome people into his camp who regularly stab him and whom he regularly stabs, this is a pathological situation. This is not a universe you want to inhabit, believe me. This is worse than normal politics. But Lindsey Graham has a real problem, because one of the ways he sucked back to Trump was he also contacted Brad Raffensperger's office in Georgia. And Lindsey Graham represents South Carolina. He does not represent Georgia. None of his business. None of his beeswax. But he did. He stuck his considerable nose in it. And he said, "You've got to come up with those votes. You've got to forge those votes." Well, it didn't work. Raffensperger stood tall, taped the conversation with Trump, said pound sand, and he certified the election. Now Lindsey Graham has been subpoenaed by the January 6th commission. And he's trying to resist the subpoena. Why? Because what? He's King Tut? He's a big guy. He's a big man. He's a senator. He doesn't get to do that. Executive privilege. The Supreme Court's already ruled. There is no executive privilege other than Biden. Biden's the only president. He has executive privilege, and he's waived it. Lindsey Graham, according to some very well-regarded federal prosecutors, had better take the fifth. Because if he gets up there and he acknowledges the obvious that he made those calls in context to try to back Trump up in forging those votes in Georgia, Lindsey Graham may be doing time. Lindsey Graham may be doing time for aiding and abetting extortion and extorting himself. He may be in an orange jumpsuit. If he takes the fifth, I still think he should be in an orange jumpsuit. I mean, there's no contest that he did it, but will he admit it? A lot more coming up after the break, but I'll tell you that January 6th commission is going to be the best TV in town today and Thursday. Going to break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Every nutty bill that this Republican legislature passed, okay? We've got to elect the Democrats. However, you have to look at this from a risk point of view. If, God forbid, what happens if a Republican wins for governor, what are the choices? Nicholson has dropped out. Ramtin is, who knows, an outlier. It comes down to the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, and Tim Michaels. And Tim Michaels has been endorsed by Tommy Thompson, and the Duchess of Foxconn has been endorsed by Walker and 50 state gerrymandered illegitimate state legislators. Now, I want to unpack this for you because there's some interesting subtext here. And Michaels is something of an enigma. First of all, if the Duchess wins, she is not competent to be governor of this state. She does not have the gravitas, the ability, the knowledge to be governor of this state. The governor is more than just a speech giver, more than just a somebody in the Senate or the House who gets up and tries to give these hackneyed speeches. You have to actually run the state with a very large budget. You can't do it, in my view. Very reminiscent of Kim Reynolds in Iowa, Kristi Noem in South Dakota. They're peas in a pod, these people. They're all sort of like Bond girls, but for the bad side, for Ernst Avril Blofeld. So she's not going to make it against Evers, so you could say, well, maybe we should hope that she gets nominated. But things can take a bad bounce. And if she ever got in, she's identical to Walker. She would make sure that we didn't certify, they didn't certify, the state didn't certify any election that a Democrat won. She would absolutely rip apart the environment in the state worse than it is, the university system. You can't have her. However, Michaels came across initially as sort of an interesting, moderate type of guy. And you might say, well, maybe if he gets it, if God forbid it takes a bad bounce, nevertheless, we'll have somebody who isn't bat feathers crazy. Well, I'm not so sure, frankly. Let me give you an example. Back in 2015, when Scott Walker ran through Right to Work and busted all the unions in the state, Michaels and his company were part of a group called the Contractor Coalition that opposed Right to Work. They said, at least please leave unionization in the trades, please. This is the companies doing it now, not the unions, the companies. He gave time off to an employee to go and protest against Walker's Right to Work law. And a worker who refused to pay union dues, which is what Right to Work is all about. In other words, you can have a union, but a lot of workers won't pay dues if they don't have to and can still work and get the benefit of union wages. And a worker who refused to pay union dues was fired by Michaels and got a settlement from Michaels and the union. Michaels was pro-union. Walker and Clayfish pretended they're pro-union. They told the operating engineers in the 2016 election, we won't go for right to work. We won't go to right for work. We won't go for right to work. And then they turned right around, and then Walker signed the right to work law. Walker lied to him. Walker lied to him. Michaels now is going, oh no, I'm for right to work. Yeah, I'm on board with the donors in the Republican Party. I'm for right to work. I always was. Clayfish is criticizing him, saying, come on, back in 2015, you were part of the contractor coalition that opposed it. You fired somebody who wouldn't pay union dues, and you and the union had to pay a settlement to him. And you gave time off to an employee to protest against it. Now, all of that may make it more likely, in my view, that Michaels wins the primary. A lot of labor look at that and say, I'd rather have him in there than Clayfish. Why did the contractors do this? Let me tell you why. Because unions make sense. Unions make sense. They make sense to the company. When I was party chairman and then in the gubernatorial race, I toured a lot of union sites. You know, the laborers will have their own work site set up. They train their own people. And if they have people who are no good or lazy or aren't going to work, they get rid of them. So when Michael's company comes and they say, we need 20 laborers, we need 30 electricians and 20 machinists, they're getting top-notch people. They've been trained. They've been trained at union expense. The contractors want that. The contractors want that. They do not want to have no unions, and they go out and guys line up and they don't know how they can do. Simple as that. So now what was coming on is Michaels lying to the base now, saying he was always against right to work, even though he obviously, for right to work, even though he opposed it? Or has he converted? Does he really mean that? Does he really mean that? I am concerned that he may really mean it, quite frankly. Early on, he refused to attack the lack of certification by some people in the Republican Party or the rumors that, you know, somehow there was rigging in the election. Now he's sort of sneaking over to that side. I do not know if he is simply a chameleon who, if he gets in, will be opposed to right to work and do the right thing and restore labor unions and stand up for our democracy, or if he flipped over and he's going to try to ride the right-wing horse. I do not know. But what I will say is that he is much more likely to win the primary now, because things that are coming out seem to show moderation for a Republican. They show moderation. And people may think, they may be kind of tricked into thinking, well, maybe this guy is not as bad as we think, and he is better. He is absolutely better than the Duchess of Foxconn. The Duchess of Foxconn. So stand by. Where do I come down on this? I don't know. I've met Michaels. He was a friend of Mark Morata's, who was a big Democrat, who was the Secretary of the Department of Administration under Jim Doyle. Good man. And I figured, well, a guy like Michaels, a friend of his, probably not a bad guy. And he had said moderate things. He had said moderate things. But and now I'm not so sure. I don't think that he had to go as far as he did and saying, well, now he's for right to work. He did not have to say that. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Well, good morning, Matt. I'm calling today because I don't care for that guy that's running. I'm real concerned about him. He's had, what, he had contracts with the Keystone Pipeline, and he's all ticked off because, you know, he canceled or put a stop to the pipeline, which Obama did in the first place, and then Trump overturned it, and it goes near the Indian reservations or the Indian properties, you know, and some of it has leaked and could endanger their water supply. So And then he was complaining about Foxconn, and he had business with Foxconn. We don't need that kind of guy running our state. I believe that Biden's going to win. I know more people that think our governor is doing a great job, and they appreciate him. He may not be a big mouth, but gol darn it, he's all over the state. He's on my local TV station, and they're showing what the heck he's doing in the area. And Tony Evers is doing an outstanding job. I think he's not going to have a problem at all. These people disparage and lie and say whatever they want to, but people see that Tony Evers is working for them. And I think you guys are going to be in for a good surprise because people like him. They like him because he works, and he works really hard. He's doing his job, and people are seeing the results of it. So, you know, people can spew all the negatives they want, but Evers is the guy, and people like him. So I just wanted to give you that, my 2 cents worth this morning. And you have a really good day.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, thanks a lot, Gene. Yeah, let me just follow up on that before we go back to the lines. What Gene is saying is something that I said at the outset. We absolutely have to elect the Democrat, Evers. You got to vote for him. I'm going to vote for him. All I'm saying, though, is I want to give you the background. If the what-if department, something takes a bad bounce, what if we can't have the Duchess of Foxconn? And I'm increasingly concerned that Michaels is talking a good game of moderation, but as a matter of fact, he's switched over. He's a convert. He's endorsed by Trump. He stands up for Foxconn. Walker was Foxconn. They're all Foxconn. They're all for us getting cheated by a Chinese company. Vote Democratic. Going back to the lines. Pizza Box Mike, my friend, thanks for calling Western Miami. My
calling for the election to be overturned in Wisconsin. And he's basing this on, of course, because of the drop box ballots that the Supreme Court recently ruled 4-3 that we can't use them. But that's for the future, Donald, not for the past. And, of course, the conservatives are really happy about this because it gives them an advantage in the election by making it harder for Democrats to vote. They're not afraid of voter fraud. And he's also basing this on Gableman's investigation, who's in contempt of court and can't show any evidence and is destroying his emails. But let's just put it this way. 24 people were found guilty of voter fraud in the 2020 election out of 3.3 million voters. And you know what they forget to tell you every time they come up with that? That the 24 voters were Republican voters voting fraudulently.
Yeah, you know, Mike, you hit the nail on the head. Pizza Box Mike. Now, remember something, guys. Pizza Box Mike has his own show on Saturdays, Thinking Outside the Pizza Box. You got to listen to it. Yeah, this guy does not pull punches. Second of all, he's been a guest host on this show, and he's co-hosted other shows. Pizza Box Mike tells it like it is. So Pizza Box, here's what I'm going to say. You're absolutely right. Of those 24 cases, the majority, you know, there's an occasional Republican who owns a home and a lake home or a vacation home. And some of them will vote in both the same day. They'll vote absentee in one and in person on the other. That's a felony. They got nabbed. Up in Fond du Lac, Eric Toney, who's running for attorney general, charged something like 5 people because they put a UPS store as their home address. UPS. And if there ever is a Democratic fraud, you know what it is? There's 1 or 2 of them. Some woman is living with her mom, and her mom is quite elderly, and they get absentee ballots, and they come in the mail, and then the mom dies before the election. And the daughter knows exactly how the mom was going to vote, so she fills the ballot out, signs it with the mom's signature, then she signs her own and sends it in. That's also a felony. That's 1 or 2 cases, and that's a good daughter who made a mistake. Give me a break. Out of 3 million votes, you're telling me that therefore we should have no drop boxes, like Pizza Box Mike says? Give me a break. And now Donald Trump, yeah, stand by for this, just came out yesterday and demanded that Voss overturn the Wisconsin election last time because of the drop box thing. Now, that is absolutely absurd and stupid. But secondly, plenty of Republican votes put in those drop boxes, but there are Wisconsin votes in those drop boxes. This is an abomination, this ruling. Pizza Box Mike is right on the money. So stand by. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my soul.
As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some very poignant testimony from some homeowners who get their water from wells in Peshtigo, and also in Marinette County. That area of the state has the worst contamination from forever chemicals of anywhere in the state. But as you know, forever chemicals are now in the water in some places in Milwaukee County, Bain County, Eau Claire, Wausau, Rhinelander, La Crosse. It's all around the state. It's been found in deer. Deer drink water. Deer drink water, and deer do not know any county boundaries. They can't read signs. Deer's getting into the deer herd. Well, there's a woman named Cindy Boyle in Peshtigo who gave very, very poignant testimony. She said, quote, having standards would mean we don't have to live in constant fear that chemicals are coming into our wells, that we have the law behind us to protect ourselves. Cindy Boyle in Peshtigo, a lot of the wells are contaminated. 1 million Wisconsinites, Wisconsin residents, use wells for their groundwater. It's almost 20% of the state. 1 million Wisconsin residents use wells, the groundwater, through wells for their drinking water and cooking water. They are all hoping that the state sets standards. Now you'd think, come on, Matt. They say that Minnesota is a land of 10,000 lakes. We have more lakes than Minnesota. We have 20,000 lakes. We have an unbelievable amount of lakes. We live by our clean water. Our tourism industry brings in billions of dollars a year, and a lot of it is fishing, boating, water skiing, and swimming. A lot of it. And then a lot of it is deer hunting and other kinds of hunting where the animals drink water. The League of Women Voters, there's a petition out from the League of Women Voters and a group called Save Our Water, which is SOH2O, great name, Save Our Water, SOH2O. Doug Oetzinger of Marinette, former mayor of Marinette, former leader in the Democratic Party when I was the chairman, friend of mine, a good guy, is part of this petition. It's very poignant. It just says, DNR, please set standards. The federal government doesn't set standards, believe it or not. The EPA is looking at it, and if and when they do set standards, that would control and trump any state inaction. Although the U.S. Supreme Court recently has ruled that regulations can't be enforced unless the Congress agrees, and the Congress will gerrymander, strike that, they are gerrymandered. The Congress will filibuster anything that Moscow Mitch thinks would hurt Joe Biden. This is what we've come down to. Cancer water. Now, in the state, we could do it. The DNR could do it, except that Fred Prehn is still there. He's the Republican. He's pro-cancer water. And you may say, oh, well, that's not fair, Matt. He's not pro-cancer water. Well, a guy who obstructs any standards so the donors to the Republican Party can put cancer in the water is pro-cancer water. He can't go, I'm not for it. It's just that these manufacturers are for it. And they have their rights too. Well, no, they don't. They don't have more rights than a million people who drink groundwater through their wells, okay? They just do not. Now, Voss and the legislature could authorize standards. They could do it. You know what Voss said? He said, absolutely, we're going to study it, S-T-U-D-Y. We will, quote, study, end quote, it. Whenever a politician says he's going to study something, means he wants to get out of the interview as quick as possible and take to his heels and get out of town so he doesn't have to answer any more questions. They killed it. Study means killed. Study means killed. The Republican Party is killing any standards for cancer water alleviation in two respects. One is the legislature is burying it in committee, and the other one is the legislature and the Wisconsin Supreme Court, 4-3, Republican Supreme Court. Republican Supreme Court has said that lame duck people can stay on. Connor, we have a phone call that lame duck can stay on, and therefore Fred Pren is staying on, and that is simply not right. So I'm with Cindy Boyle and Peshtigo. Quote, having standards would mean we don't have to live in constant fear of chemicals coming into our wells, that we have the law behind us to protect ourselves. And what is happening is they're not protected. They don't have standards. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going. What's my day, Wisco Paul?
That's a problem with the GOP. They don't want regulations on anything. Meat inspectors, nothing. It's just a sad state of affairs. That's what you get with gerrymandering. But it's worse than this, Matt. You can't eat the fish down by Black Earth, or you're supposed to be limited to the amount of fish you can eat. A lot of Madison lakes, they've screwed up the fishing industry. I, for one, when I go fishing, I'm going to practice catch and release, because they haven't really put out standards on how many fish you can eat. And what's this thing, or if it already has, gotten into the groundwater, what are going to happen to health? Well, not only your health, but valuations of your homes, everything. And this is what happens when you appoint people like Scott Walker did, and they won't leave. And I don't know when the people are going to wake up in this state that the GOP does not care about anything to do with the environment except for what their corporate donors want them to do. So it gets me pretty excited because I'm an outdoorsman. And, hey, once you lose the water, what the hell am I supposed to drink?
Yeah, no, you're making a good point. You're making a very good point. And it comes down to this. What rational state does not set standards for forever chemicals? What rational state does not set standards for forever chemicals? Connor, we have another call. We're setting up for a break. Connor, screen that call. Stay on the line. Whoever you are, we're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's going to be a lot more back after the break.